Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo on In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns. And you're listening to Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. Today, I'm going to be talking about some current events and connecting that with the readings and the gospel that we have for this coming Sunday's Mass. You know, what's been a hot topic is all this stuff about Christian Zionism, right? And we hear, you know, we've heard all these things about with Charlie Kirk. There's all this issues there about, you know, Israel and Gaza and Hamas. And how does this all fit? You know, how can we learn from our daily readings and our Sunday Masses from the readings? Because, you know, God speaks to us every day, and it's up to us to choose to listen to him, to literally tune in to his frequency, listen to his voice, just like you all today. For some reason, God chose you to tune in to In His Sign Catholic Radio and WTMR 800 AM. Because, you know, many times people, you know, start their day off, right? They may look at the paper, or they may look at, open up their phone and read what's on their feed and watch any YouTubes or Instagram or X. And they seem to get their directions or news or information from there. But what is better than such news? The good news, right? And, you know, there's also some people, you know, who actually in their, you know, back in the old days, I guess, when you still get newspapers, people would look at their puzzles or comics, or they look at their daily horoscopes. You may be one of those people that look into your website on a website or on your email or what have you, and be into palm reading and fortune tellers or mediums or clairvoyance. But you know what? If you do, I'm here to make sure that you understand that actually breaks the first commandment. Yes, brothers and sisters. And guess what? All of this ties in with our topic today, because when it all boils down into is that the Lord your God is only one God, and we shall not have any strange gods before us. We either serve God or mammon, meaning money. And so what it all comes down to, brothers and sisters, is when we hear all these stuff of the news, if you really just follow the money trail, you'll actually see who's serving who. Are they serving God or they're serving money? Because money is not evil in of itself. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And so we're going to get into this, brothers and sisters, but I just want to make sure I lead off with that we're going to talk about, you know, things about Christian Zionism. Not that I'm an expert or anything like that. No, far from it. But because it's a common topic nowadays, hot button issue, whether you go on a legacy news or TV or internet or on your phone or what have you, on, like I said, on YouTube or X or, you know, Instagram and all this, you know, I just want to make sure that we look at it in another perspective. And I propose to show you that other perspective that actually comes from our readings today. All right. And like we always do, brothers and sisters, let's start off with the Our Father prayer. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're in the month of November. I've been off for a little bit here. And, you know, this month of November, just like each month of the calendar year, is dedicated to certain devotions, monthly devotions. Last month of October, it was devoted to the Holy Rosary. This month, of course, is dedicated to the Holy Souls. And what does that mean? It means those people of the church who belongs, who are still suffering, but they're already dead. Their bodies are dead, but their spirits are alive, but yet suffering in purgatory. And so as we know that, you know, November 1st was All Saints Day, all those members of the church who are in heaven, right? That's why they're all considered saints, whether they're canonized or not. They're in heaven, they're saints. And then those, the part of the church that is in not yet in heaven, but they're on their way, they are still in purgatory. And so those are the holy souls. And we actually prayed for them, right? They had their special day, the All Souls Day, on November 2nd. So, you know, we had, of course, the Hallowed Eve, which, you know, secular society would call it Halloween, but it really means Hallowed Eve. It's the holy evening before All Saints Day, which was November 1st. But November 2nd, of course, was All Souls Day, right? So, again, that's commemorating this whole month. Is for the holy souls. And before I get into those hot topics about Christian Zionism and how they connect with the reading, I still want to make sure we give proper honor and respect and love and mercy to those holy souls, which are also labeled the church suffering. We that are still alive here are called the church militant. We're still doing battle. Spiritual battle against the forces of evil, and we're trying to make sure that we're aligned with the forces of good, meaning God, his holy angels, and all the good people who are on the side of God, because, again, there's only one God, and that is Jesus Christ, Christ the King. And, you know, that's a real hot topic and a dangerous word nowadays, isn't it? Is that strange, calling Jesus Christ the King? Something that's very controversial? Well, it shouldn't be, especially on this station, WTMR, where the master reigns, right? This Christian, and here's the Catholic hour that we're talking about, that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is God, the Son of God, Christ the King, who is the Messiah that the Jews were waiting for all this time. And praise be to God the Father and the Holy Spirit, for having Jesus sent here to save the world and take on all the sins from the past, the present, and the future, and conquer that and pay for it by his blood and by his suffering and his death. And then he conquered death by rising from the dead on the third day on Sunday, which we call Easter Sunday. So there's a lot to celebrate here about how Jesus is our Lord and Savior, the Messiah, and that he is Christ the King, and that we are here to also help those holy souls, all our loved ones who have already gone before us, all those who have passed away. We should take advantage of this special first 8 days of November where we could help release any of those souls who are still in purgatory that are suffering. They're paying their debt before they can enter into heaven. Now, some of my Christian brothers and sisters, namely Protestants, who don't believe in the dogma of purgatory may find that really strange or objectionable. Like, what are you talking, Dr. Anton, about purgatory? That's not in the Bible. You know, well, that's true. The word purgatory is not in the Bible. But if you think about it, the word purgatory, it's really about purging. So if I mispronounce it, we can, to help emphasize what this place, it's a real place and a state of our soul that the people are being purged. So there, it's a place that, let me just mispronounce it now, as purgatory. So we kind of lose track of the real meaning, purgatory, that it's really like purgatory, okay, where people are purged from their what we call minor or venial sins or sins that are not deadly. And St. John, the apostle, talks about this. I think it's in his first John or second John, where he distinguishes sin, that there is deadly sin and sin that is not deadly. In other words, there are two kinds of sin. Deadly sin, which we Catholics understand that to be mortal because it kills the soul, and the soul is dead and no longer in friendship with God. Whereas if we commit minor sins, also known as venial sins, those is what St. John the Apostle would deem as sins that are not deadly. In other words, your soul is not dead, okay? And so, but what if a person dies in the good graces of God? For example, if they didn't die with a mortal sin, like a sin from the Ten Commandments, such as, you know, killing somebody, right, murdering somebody, or stealing or committing adultery, and they never asked God for forgiveness, they never had perfect contrition, or they never went to a Catholic priest to formally get their sins forgiven, just like how Jesus gave the apostles the power to forgive sins. Jesus can delegate the power to forgive sins, even though it's only forgiven by God. But because God is all-powerful, and because he can delegate that power, he delegated that to his apostles to forgive sins. And in fact, Jesus gave an example on how to give confession. And it was right before he died. He was on the cross, and he heard the confession of the so-called good thief. His name traditionally is called Dismas, the thief on the right, who really admitted that he was rightfully being condemned to death. And he asked the Lord to remember him. And the Lord heard his confession. So that's called auricular confession, meaning that he heard the confession. And it was an example there. Well, then God promised him paradise. In other words, that he would go to heaven and that he would go there that very day. And so this leads to the question, though, where would they go if heaven is not open at this point? Where is this so-called paradise if heaven is not formally open? We know heaven opens on Sunday, Easter Sunday. So we also know that Jesus went down and after in those 3 days to proclaim himself to the abode of the dead, such as like Adam and Eve and all those who are awaiting the Messiah, and he spread the good news. So it begs the question. It shows that there is a third place besides heaven and besides hell that Jesus went to, and that that people can go to before they are admitted into heaven. And let me just add this to show the scripture that when Jesus did appear, when Jesus climbed up the mountain called Mount Tabor, where he was transfigured and he was speaking to Moses and Elijah, Peter, James, and John were witnesses to this, that they actually saw and recognized Moses and Elijah. And Moses had already died. And so, but yet his body was alive. So where was he if his body was buried in Mount Nebo, but yet his spirit was alive somewhere and heaven was not open? So where could Moses have been? We know there was an exception for Elijah, that Elijah and Enoch was taken into the lower parts of heaven. So, but where was Moses is the question. Now, I'm getting some feedback on my side here. I don't know if the technical difficulty there, I don't know if that's happening on your side of things there. But let me try to make some adjustments here. And that my point was I'm trying to give proof that there is a third place, which leads to the idea and the real place called purgatory. Now, it's also in scripture. There's many other verses in Scripture that actually alludes to the words, alludes to the place of purgatory, and it's in the Old Testament and the New Testament. So the word purgatory, it doesn't, is not used in particular, but the subject matter is. So just like we as Christians must believe in the Trinity to be a true Christian, the word Trinity is not even in Scripture, but yet that's what makes a Christian a Christian. So to distinguish others, for instance, some of you may or may not know that Mormons, as good as they are not true Christians. They don't believe in the Trinity. And the same thing with the Unitarians. They don't believe in the Trinitarian dogma. That's why they're called Unitarian, for one, not Trinity. And then also Jehovah Witnesses. They are also, they may think they're Christian, but in the true sense of the word, they have to believe in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And their belief is different. So they are not true Christians in that sense. And so these would be considered actually a cult because they don't believe in the Trinity like Christians believe. Yet we who are Catholic Christians believe in the Trinity, and the word Trinity is not even in Scripture, just like the word purgatory. So if we're going to say that we can't believe in purgatory because the word is not in the Bible, and the Bible is only the sole, allegedly the sole rule of faith, you know, the pillar and foundation, well, then they would all people who would say that would also have to admit that they don't believe in the Trinity either, because the word Trinity is not in Scripture. They would therefore also have to renege their belief that they're a true Christian. So it all is like a house of cards. It's all tied together. If you say you believe in the Trinity and the word, and you're a Christian, but yet it's not in the Scripture, well, then you would also say about purgatory the same thing. So it all comes together. Now, let me go into the word purgatory here, because, you know, I mentioned to you it's both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, in Samuel, for instance, with this regarding David, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, it said that David, though forgiven, is still punished for his sin. So, in other words, you can still have sin, but you'll still be punished here on earth and or in another place in purgatory. Now, St. Augustine talks about this. St. Augustine talks about that when we do something wrong, like breaking the first commandment, remember how I started off this program? I said, some of us get our news, wonder like how our day's going to go, and by reading horoscopes or going to a palm reader, they want to know the future, like how, where are they going to meet a guy or a girl that they think they're going to get married to, or they go to fortune tellers, right? Same thing, or they may go to a Chinese restaurant and read and believe, you know, the fortune cookie, or they go to a clairvoyant or a medium and things like that. And so that actually, if one believes this, then they are really on the verge of committing a mortal sin if they fulfill the three criteria. Like, did you know this was wrong? If you didn't, well, then doesn't raise to the mortal sin. If you didn't, I mean, like if you went and was reading these horoscopes and you really didn't know it broke the first commandment, well, then it's not raised to the level of mortal sin because you didn't know. You have to know it's a mortal sin. It's a serious, grave sin that you do it anyway, and you weren't forced to do it. You did it of your own free will. So if you didn't fulfill any of those three, well, then it's not a mortal sin, and but you still need to go to confession because it's a venial sin. It's a sin that's not deadly, and this is where the people in purgatory go. You see, so let's take, for instance, that they really love going and reading horoscopes, but they never knew it was against the first commandment. And they did it of their own free will. Like, no one forced them to read horoscopes. And they did it. They practiced this every day. Oh, I wonder what my horoscope is today. I'm born under this certain sign. Instead of believing that, hey, you're born under the cross of Christ. And this is part of the reason why I named my program Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. Because why? We are signed with the cross of Christ. So if somebody really asks you, hey, Dr. Anton, what's your sign? Well, I'm not going to say, you know, even though I'm born in August, I'm not going to say that's where I'm, you know, Leo or whatever it may be. No, I'm going to say my sign is the cross of Christ in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's the sign of the cross. In fact, what is the name of our radio network here that Cassie McCarthy started? That's what, close to 50 years now? It's in his sign. Thanks be to God, it's in his sign. So that's the sign that we're under, the sign of the cross, the crucified Christ, where Christ, who is crucified, is a stumbling block, you know, to people. You know, it's foolishness to people. And so, but yet, that's our sign of victory. It's our sign of comfort, because it is Christ the King. In fact, that's what the sign that was over his head. It says, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. But thanks be to God, we Gentiles, we Goyim, were grafted onto the tree of the Jews, and we are part of it. And in the New Testament, it shows that we are adopted children of God. We're adopted. And we are also heirs to the kingdom. And this is why we owe God so much. And why this program still, I'm going to get into this Christian Zionism here. I didn't know I was going to have this long preamble about the purgatory. But it's so just, it's so right to talk about this during the month of Holy Souls. Okay, so let me just finish up on purgatory here, where I was saying how when Samuel, that even though he was alive, he was still punished for sin. And so what happens, though, some people, when they commit a sin here, let's say they're doing these horoscopes, and they didn't know it was wrong, so it's not a mortal sin because they didn't know it was serious, it was grave, it broke the first commandment. They were doing it every day, and they did it of their own free will. And they'll say they died, but everything else was fine. Well, they actually didn't. They may not have suffered here on earth for that small sin, that venial sin, that sin that's not deadly. That's the term that St. John, the apostle, in either 1 John or 2 John, that he distinguishes kinds of sin. And so what happens when that person dies, they're going to be surprised to find out, you know, where am I now? Well, and most likely, if they're, again, in the grace of God, in other words, they didn't break a 10th commandment freely and willingly and knowingly that it was grave, they're going to find themselves in purgatory. And then they have to pay up there. They have to pay for their sins, and there is a beginning and an end. In other words, there's a start and a finish where they enter purgatory, and then they are released from purgatory. And it really depends on what they did and how long they did it, you know, and how severe that was. Okay, so let's take, for instance, a person did a horoscope just one time versus a person who did a horoscope pretty much their adult life. So let's just say 50 years. And, well, let's say all things even, they both did nothing else wrong. They were forgiven for all their sins, but they forgot to confess the sin of the first commandment, where they didn't know horoscopes was honoring a false god. Well, since they both did this, one did it for his adult life and one just did it, you know, as a curiosity. Well, they both had the same type of sin, but one was more severe than the other. In other words, one did that for his adult life, and they would have to stay in purgatory longer than the person who just did it one time, and that was it. And so St. Augustine talks about this. I'm not just talking my own commentary here. So that a person, it depends on one's, he talked about that in the City of God. And so people can suffer for their sins like David here on earth, and or they can suffer in purgatory, both on earth and in purgatory, or they suffered not at all on earth, and they just suffered all in purgatory. And that's before they can get to heaven. Because Jesus says himself that that we will not be released until we pay the last penny. So if you think about it, you know, just like if you got in a car accident, right? And it was somebody, you know, you both got out of the car and you know it was your fault. The other person knows it's his fault. And this person looked like somebody that was still very calm and wasn't really belligerent or combative. And you looked into the person's eyes. You said, "I'm sorry, I'm you know that I bumped into your car." And the person actually said, "Well, I forgive you. You know, I'm not hurt, but you know, we still need to get our insurance exchange insurances here. So I trust you have insurance." Yes, yes. You know, well then, you know, I still need to get it fixed, and your insurance needs to pay for it, right? So in this scenario, you know, the person who got bumped was kind enough to forgive, but somebody needs to pay. So when we say sorry to God or we go into confession and we get forgiven by God through the power that God gave the priest, we still need to pay. But where do we pay or how do we pay? Well, we pay in purgatory if we don't pay here on earth, you see? And so that's why. And so that's why Jesus also says that you will not be released until you paid the last penny, and James it also says it's at 1 John chapter 5 it says degrees of sin are distinguished, and so that's where it talks about specifically the deadly sins and the sins that are not deadly, and also James in chapter 3 talks about how we all fall short, right? In many respects, we're all sinners. But we also know that that no one can enter heaven unless they're pure, unless they're sinless. So where do people go if they have minor sins? It's only because by the mercy of God that we have purgatory. And thanks be to God on that. And the last thing is here before we take the break, it's in Maccabees, 2 Maccabees chapter 12, that Judah Maccabees, he knows that they had to atone for the dead so they could be freed from their sin. So the Jews believe in this belief that those people who died, they had to get their sins atoned for. And Judah Maccabees showed that in 2 Maccabees chapter 12, verse 44 to 46. Anyway, we're at the bottom of the hour, and then we'll get back to the program where I will talk about Christian Zionism and how that relates to the readings, and I'll give some other announcements as well. So let's take a break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together, in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo here on In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns. And this show is called Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. I do want to just make also an announcement about a conference that you can either attend on-site or virtual, and it's called the 33rd International Week of Prayer and Fasting. And one of the big reasons that I'm mentioning this is because our own Kathleen McCarthy is one of the distinguished speakers there. Now, she's going to give a virtual talk, and you can watch that for free on Monday, November 17. And you have to go onto the website called IWOPF.org. And I'll say that again. And it stands for International Week of Prayer and Fasting. International Week of Prayer and Fasting. So the initials are IWOPF.org. And when you watch on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, on starting November 17, 18, and 19, there will be four speakers every day, and it'll be free for you to watch. Kathy McCarthy would be the first to speak on Monday, and then there's going to be a Dr. Acosta, Father Carney, Kendra Von Esch. You could see the biographies of this, of the different speakers. And here's another website that that actually has the same information, and it's an easy one. It's called sign.org. And the same people that are making this conference makes this magazine called Signs and Wonders for Our Times. And their website is sign.org. And then you will see the listing of all the different speakers. And so, for instance, on the next day, on Tuesday, some of you may know the Divine Will speaker, Father Tom Celso. He will be the the main leadoff speaker. And then there's other speakers there. I'm going to just save time and skip over to the Wednesday speaker, where there will be Ted Flynn, Father Robert Altier, Susan Tassoni, the one who talks about and writes about purgatory, and then Father Chris Aylar, who's very popular. So all these are free only for those days. But if you miss out on those free talks, then you can still order the access to all the talks and even last year's talks, which I happen to be on there from last year. I've spoken from these conferences two, maybe three times. Let me mention, though, the other the live speakers who will speak at the Basilica of the National Shrine in D.C. are actually Father Dan Rehill. He's actually the exorcist in Nashville, and also he is the director for Radio Maria USA. And some of you may or may not know, I have my own show. I have another show on Radio Maria USA. It actually plays right after this show. So after this show ends, right after on Radio Maria USA, I have a show there called Building the Kingdom. And he's the one that, you know, approved my show. He's the boss of that network. And so Father Rehill is going to talk. And he's a great story. You know, I'm not going to give it all, but, you know, essentially he was in the world. You know, this is his second vocation going in as a priest, but it was all because of Medjugorje. So that was it. And then there's another speaker, Patricia Sandoval, and she's a pro-life speaker. And then there's Andrew Nywald, and he's the president of the Adoratio Foundation. It looks like the word adoration, Adoratio Foundation. And then there's also going to be another exorcist. I actually worked with him a few times because I was officially part of the exorcist team in Philadelphia. So is Father John Zeta of Harrisburg, and he will be speaking also. So there's a lot of great speakers on this conference. You can find out more about it on sign.org, as in signs and wonders, or you can go to the direct website, iwopf.org. And the last plug I want to give here is that, you know, I gave a talk at the Knights of Columbus on October 23rd to the young adults of Chester County, and it was about spirituality and mental health. Essentially, I helped them understand the difference. How can you tell if you have a mental affliction versus a spiritual affliction? Like, how do you know if you're possessed or not, or is it a mental affliction? And then I went into the topics of the false theory of the chemical imbalance theory, essentially the false theory of medications to treat things like anxiety and depression. And some people don't know that there was a scientific study 3 years ago that showed that those studies that trying to prove that there's a decrease in serotonin is the cause was actually proven wrong, and people may not be aware of that. So I talk about that specific study and how various doctors of psychiatry and psychology are trying to help people understand that those medicines really don't work, aren't really meant for long term, and they can make things worse. As some people understand that, you know, look, they can cause suicidal ideation or worse, right? Anyway, so if you want me to speak on this at your parish, at your Bible study, at your Knights of Columbus or women's group or what have you, or at your retreat center, please let me know, and feel free to just leave a message there at In His Sign Catholic Radio, and to see how that message can get to me. All right, so let's get now to the topic at hand regarding Christian Zionism, and how does that relate to the readings of today, of this Sunday? And notice this Sunday is actually a feast about the dedication of a basilica in Rome. And this basilica in Rome is called the John Lateran Basilica. Now, it's not named after a person by the name of John Lateran. No, it's this basilica is on the hill of called Lateran, and so that's the place. It's actually the cathedral basilica that Pope Leo, or all the popes, not all of them, but the ones prior. That's their home parish. So the Bishop of Rome, this is where he resides, and where the chair of Peter is. So that's where the throne is at. It's called John Lateran because it's on the hill called Lateran Hill. And the reason why it's called John is because it's dedicated to both the Saint John the Baptist and Saint John the Evangelist. So they put the two words together, John and Lateran, to make it St. John Lateran. It's the feast. And it's usually, again, we have a feast for people, right? We have a feast for God, Jesus, the Blessed Mother, for different saints. But why is this about a building, a church? And this is how I'm going to connect it to the Christian Zionism. Now, again, I am no expert by any means. I'm just making the connection that what Jesus says in Scripture and how we as Catholics really don't believe in Christian Zionism. Of course, we love the Jews. Of course, we love all sorts of people, right? We all desire everyone to go to heaven. But we know from Scripture that Jesus said, and this is where the reading is for this coming weekend. It's amazing where Jesus, this is from the gospel, and it's from who else but St. John. It's in his second chapter, and Let me read this so we have the whole context, okay? So it says, since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And let me just stop there. This is John chapter 2. So this is in the first year of Jesus's ministry. Some people think this happened only at the end of his ministry. It actually happened at least twice, at the beginning of his ministry and at the end of his ministry, his third year. So he might have done it at three times each year. But he went over there up to Jerusalem. And what did he do? Let's go into it. It says, he found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers. Remember how I said in the beginning of the conversation here, or the show, about you cannot serve both God and mammon. And if you follow the money, you'll see who is serving who. Are people serving money, mammon, or are they serving God? So what did Jesus find? He found money changers seated where? In the temple. He made a whip out of cords and drove who out? Them all out of the temple. In other words, those who were selling the sheep, the oxen, the doves, and the money changers. And what did he do? He spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their table. And to those who sold doves, he said, take these out of here and stop making my father's house a marketplace. His disciples recalled the words of Scripture. And when we talk about Scripture, he's talking about Old Testament, because this was live in the first year our Lord was in his ministry, so about the year 30. So the Bible has not been written as we know it. In other words, the New Testament and the Old. All we have is the Old Testament. And so it says here, the disciples recalled the words of Scripture. What Scripture? The Hebrew Scripture, what we call is the Old Testament. And here's what the word said. Zeal for your house will consume me. At this, the Jews answered and said to him, what sign can you show us for doing this? Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews said, this temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days? And it makes a commentary here, John does. He says, but he was speaking about what? The temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, the disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the Scripture, you know, and the word Jesus spoken. So here we have living proof from John that they believed in oral tradition and the Old Testament. The oral tradition is what John says here, the word Jesus had spoken. Those were verbal, vocal. It was live. There was no New Testament written. Therefore, we cannot have the belief in Bible alone, because St. John, who wrote this gospel, said that they believed the word of Jesus that he had spoken. He didn't write anything. He spoke it. And so this is why we believe in both written and oral tradition. That's biblical, to believe what is written and orally spoken, like John, the favorite apostle. So how does this connect with Christian Zionism? Well, from the little that I understand, what Christian Zionists believe, again, if I'm faulty in my understanding, they believe that the temple needs to be rebuilt, and that Christ will reign in this temple. But in doing that, they're also trying to help the Jews raise up the temple, which would be considered the third temple. The first temple was built by, how David started and Solomon completed it, and then it was destroyed. And then after the Babylonians came and destroyed it, it was then rebuilt again. And that was the second temple that Jesus went into. But then we know in the year 70, that temple was destroyed and all the Jewish rabbis were killed then. And that's why there is no such thing as any temple sacrifices anymore since the year 70, because Jesus was the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. Therefore, we need no other sacrifice. And so in one sense, that third temple, again, Jesus says what that is. That third temple is Jesus, that he said, destroy this temple, and I will raise it up on the last day. So what was that third temple that was raised up? That was Jesus on the third day. And this is John writing this. And that he said that they came to believe the scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. Not that what he had written, what he had spoken. Later on, John wrote it down, which then became part of our New Testament. But they believed what was spoken first. And so, and even when St. John in Revelation, when he's taken in the spirit, his body is still imprisoned on the island of Patmos. His body is still there, but his spirit was taken in heaven. And what did he see in heaven? He saw no temple. He saw no temple. Why? Because the Lord God is the temple. In fact, there was no sun because Jesus was the light. He's the light of the world. So looking into heaven and looking at Jesus, you'll see that Jesus is the temple. In fact, he resides in each and every one of us, and we belong to him. So the temple of God is really the church. So it's not the building. And so when we have the Christian Zionists wanting to help the Jews build their temple, we have to ask the question, well, why do the Jews want to build the temple? Because they are awaiting who they think is the Messiah. But we who are Catholic, we who are Christians, and remember, Catholic is Christians. We are the original Christians. People have this false dichotomy, false separation thinking that you Catholics are not Christians. Oh, on contraire, we Catholics are the original Christians. We are the true Christians. We are the ones that are the way. We are the Christians, the Catholics, that are the ones described in Acts chapter 11, where the followers of Jesus are called Christians. And in fact, in the year 107 AD, the third or the fourth bishop of Antioch, he's the one who wrote letters that showed that the name of the church is called Catholic. And so you can look that up in one of his letters. I think it's the letters to the Smyrnaeans. He wrote seven letters on his way to his own martyrdom. And he was the bishop of the city that was originally called Christian. And so he would know in particular what was their proper name of these Christians, of the way. Which way? The way that they followed Jesus, who ate his flesh and drank his blood, had confession to a priest, baptized babies and people with water, and they, again, had confession, these sacraments. And there's only one church that does that, that believes in the Eucharist, and that's the Catholic Church, which we earliest find in the year 107 AD. And some people would think it's also in the Didache. Some people may think that date is in the 60s, like 67 AD, but that's debatable. Some people think that's too early of a date from this book called the Didache, which means the teaching of the 12 apostles. So anyway, going back here to the readings for this coming Sunday, which is dedicated to this church building called John Lateran, because it's named after John the Apostle and John the Baptist, that is on the hill called the Lateran Hill. The reason why I mention this also is because the first reading here is, the first reading is from Ezekiel. And Ezekiel talks about a temple and how water is coming out from it, you know, from the east and also from the north gate. and that there's this river flowing from it, and that there's going to be creatures that will multiply, and, you know, that fish and creatures that will be able to live because of this. And what it's really alluding to is how we had the Garden of Eden. Remember how the river there, that came from the Garden of Eden. And so here, this temple also showed a river of life that was similar to the Garden of Eden, and that this vision that Ezekiel would have would actually be fulfilled later on. And who fulfills this? Jesus, because he is the temple. So what happens is, when Jesus was crucified on the cross, guess what came out from him when he died, when he was lanced by the Roman centurion? His name was Longinus. Longinus had a long, long lance, and he lanced him. And what came out? Blood and water. And that, going with the words what Jesus says, that he is the temple, right? And he would raise it up on the third day, and blood and water came from that, just like what happened in that second temple, the one that Jesus went into, where he overthrew the tables and used his whip and drove out the different animals. Blood and water came out from the temple. And some of you may say, what do you mean, Dr. Anton? What do you mean blood and water came out of the temple? Well, when they did their sacrifices on Passover, the blood would stream out from the temple and would go out down the hills. But at the same time, they wanted to wash that out, and they would wash that out with water from the nearby river. And so that's why blood and water came from underneath the temple, from the center of the temple. So what is the center of Jesus, who is the temple? It's his heart. And what came from that after he, the Lamb of God, was sacrificed? Blood and water. So just like the Jewish priests, year after year after year, would sacrifice lambs on Passover, the blood would just literally be draining like a stream. But at the same time, it needed to be washed away. And it needed to be washed away. And they had water also from the nearby river to wash it away. So that same river, it came from the Gihon River, right? And that actually was tunneled into Jerusalem and actually exited into the Pool of Siloam, which is the lowest place in the city of Jerusalem. Some of you may know that, where Jesus healed a man that was born blind in John chapter 9, if you want to read more about it. So then this water from Gihon is the one that came out with the blood. So in the same sense, Jesus, who is the temple, where blood and water came out from his body, if a Jew back then realized, wait a second, he just said he's the temple and he's going to raise it up in 3 days. And then now they see blood and water coming from him, from his side, just like Ezekiel showed, from the side of the temple came this water. They'll say, oh, my Lord, Jesus is God. He's Christ the King. He is the Messiah. He is the King of the Jews. And he adopted us Gentiles as well, that he came to save and bring all the nations to him. And so this is why we have to understand that when we actually are trying to help assist the Jews bring in a temple that is going to literally bring in who they think is Christ, it's not going to be the Christ, because Jesus is the Christ. If they try to bring in a Christ, it's not the Christ. It's going to be somebody who's going to act like the Christ, but is not the Christ, who would be a false Christ, because Jesus is the Christ. We, the Catholic Church, are the church that is the fulfilled, that fulfills Judaism. So that's just not me saying that. This is the teachings of, you know, of the church. You can actually hear these kinds of teaching from Sister Miriam. And that's, you can look her up on YouTube. Before she became a Catholic founder of her own order, she was a Jewish convert. She was a Jew, a practicing Jew, then became an evangelical Christian, then became a Catholic, and then became started her own order and is now a mother, of her own. She's the foundress of her own religious order, and that's why she's called the mother of that order of nuns. Her name is Sister Marian, but back in the day, her name was Rosalind Moss. And so you can look her up, and she and her brother were practicing Jews and both converted, and they are way more expert. I'm not an expert. I'm just a layperson here making this commentary from my own studies and from and culling information from theologians and other great saints and so forth. And I'm just parroting what I'm reading and studying. But if you want to hear it live, you can go to her website or her YouTube and maybe even call in and see what she says, that the church is the fulfillment of Judaism. And so here, Jesus, again, is the church here. Ezekiel talks about that. And then St. John in chapter 2, Jesus says that he said, destroy this temple, meaning destroy his body, and in 3 days I'll raise him up. And St. John actually makes that commentary that he was speaking about the temple of his body. So that's the temple that was raised. And so the last thing is in the second reading of for Sunday was from Corinthians, and it talks about the temple is where in Corinthians Paul says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, in other words, you people, us people, God will destroy that person. For the temple of God, which you are, is holy. That should be a mic drop right there. St. Paul right there says it. He was the top student of the famous Rabbi Gamaliel. And he says, if I'm pronouncing that right, that he said, that do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, meaning you, the children of God, we're adopted children, God will destroy that person. For the temple of God, which you are, is holy. In other words, the church is the body of Christ. The church is a people. The church is not necessarily the building. And so I just want to leave you with that. And I'm out of time today, but I hope you enjoyed this program, and I hope you always tune into my program here on In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800 AM. And the name of this program again is Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. I'll be on tomorrow with Mike Altshuler on a live call-in program called The Healing Day of Prayer. So I'll see you tomorrow if you want to tune in. God bless you all.